the occasion, I would like to give you a little background of this scripture this morning. The occasion was a Passover festival. The Passover attracted worshipers to Jerusalem from all over the world. They came speaking different languages, carrying foreign currency. Merchants had set up booths and stalls in the temple yard to accommodate the travelers. It was a money exchange, like exchange center. They also exchanged money so that they can pay their taxes, temple taxes, and also give the contributions. Others were busy selling animals to be used in the sacrifice. To be sure, there was a great commotion and excitement in this profit-making marketplace. Could you imagine? It's just like a fair. Like the fair. I don't know if there was a Ferris wheel, but it was a busy place. Busy place of commerce. The temple area had 35 acres surrounding the temple. So it was a large place where all this took place. Also, I want to give you a little bit of history. For those of you who are history folks would like to know, this temple was originally built by Solomon 950 BC, but was burned to the ground by Nebuchadnezzar in 587 BC. The temple was then rebuilt under Zerubbabel in 516 BC. It was desecrated and stripped by Antioch's Ephesians in 168 BC, and cleansed and restored by the Maccabees in 165 BC. The temple in which Jesus found himself with these cattlemen and all the busyness of life is called the Herodian Temple, which was built by Herod the Great. And it was still in the process, of being built. It began 20 BC. So the temple is still being built. And it was completed in 68 AD. And this Herodian temple was extremely lavish, much more beautiful than Solomon's temple. And it was destroyed 2 years later in 70 AD. So if you kind of look at that history and wonder what Jesus was about doing, what the scripture was read this morning, you will come to understand what was going on. With this long history, the temple became a shrine. It became a shrine in the life of the Hebrew people. You could only imagine as we understood or have read in scripture about Solomon's temple, the gold and the precious stones that were brought in to build that. And history says this was even more magnificent. So it became a shrine. The Jews, the Hebrew people came there to worship. They had a lot of traditions that they followed. And especially at this moment, as we see, yes, there was buying and selling and a lot of things were going on. And the story of Jesus cleansing the temple helps us to understand several very important aspects of the church and its worship. Jesus was challenging the old system. He had come to fulfill the law. There was going to be no more animal sacrifice. Jesus was going to be the sacrifice for us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of this world. Jesus gave new shape and meaning to the worship life of the people of God. As the Apostle John writes, the stage for all that is to follow, explaining the sacramental character of worship of the church. Therefore, it is quite striking when Jesus shouts as he confronts the sellers, the market setting, and drives them out. He says, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." Jesus had come to replace the sacrificial system of the Hebrew covenant, the Hebrews, by making the once-for-all sacrifice himself on the cross. But I know the people didn't understand it because it hadn't happened yet. But Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he was trying to convey, okay, this era, this is over. You don't have to bring animals. You don't have to have different kinds of sacrifices. It's all going to be done. One sacrifice for all. And so you see the fervent approach of Jesus, trying to bring about change, trying to bring about reformation, if you will. And in the process, he says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And of course, people were against Jesus. They're saying, "How can you do that? I mean, this is where we come to worship. This is our temple. You know, this is a shrine. This has been built for us for so many years, and it is still in the process of building. And how could you destroy this temple?" Well, of course, Jesus was talking about himself. Himself in the 3 days, and then the resurrection. But of course, they did not understand. And John writes, John says that after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had shared with the disciples. They were upset because this has been a shrine. As John indicates how Jesus had come to replace the former manner of worship with the sacramental life of the church, he was also saying something about the nature of the church. Formerly, the people of God had to be reassured of the presence of God. You know, they had to come to the temple. That is where the only place sacrifices took place. Nowhere else. They had to come there. But Jesus was going to change it all. Jesus had a different plan and a better plan, fulfilling the Old Testament plan, to fulfill, to help these folks see. When our Lord talked about the temple, he was talking about his body. You know, the body of Christ, you know, how we come for Holy Communion, to break bread, to take part of the cup. Yes, it is a tradition, it is the means of grace, but it has meaning. It has meaning, isn't it? When we come, you know, the traditions of the church, when we come and not understand what the tradition is, if there is no meaning to our tradition, and that's what's happening in this story. People have been doing this for years and years and years. The meaning had been taken out. The temple had become the marketplace. How does that apply for us today? How does it apply? Well, of course, you would say, well, this is not the marketplace. This is the temple of God. This is the temple of God, isn't it? Jesus is cleaning out. Even for us today, 2,000 years later, we do have traditions. I'm not saying that is bad. Great traditions. But do we understand the meaning of our traditions? Does it make sense for us in things that we do? For example, passing the plate, passing the offertory, the giving of our offerings, our tithes. Is that just a tradition? Or is it a meaningful experience? Coming to worship. We come, well, because our parents came here, our grandparents. We were baptized, we were married in this church. What more? Is there a meaningful relationship with Jesus? Traditions are great, but when there is no meaning to the things that we do, Jesus asks us. Jesus cleans out and tells us, rethink. Think about what you are doing. Does it make any sense? Why are you doing this? Are you bringing glory to God the Father? What will you put in the place of the temple? The Jews of Jesus' day might have asked him, you have already heard the answer. Jesus put his body in the place of the temple. Worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Didn't he say to the Samaritan woman at the well? The worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. When the woman perceived that Jesus was a prophet, she asked him, why the different places? Samaritans here and Jews over there. Which mountain are you going to come back to? Which mountain should we go and worship? And Jesus says in John 4, 23, 24, the hour is coming now when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What will you put in place of our temple? The Jews might have asked, what will you put in the place of our sacrifice? Jesus put himself. Jesus put himself so that we don't have to do all those sacrifices anymore. He sacrificed himself for us. My friends, even today, how many of us are following certain traditions that we have to, like the Jews did, on the day of the Sabbath, we have to do certain things. We have to walk only certain places or certain within certain miles. But how is it with our soul? We can keep all those rules and laws and traditions, but are we really connected with our Lord? You know, these 46 days you have been praying or designated this time to prepare your hearts. The Lord is cleaning, if you will, cleaning some cobwebs and dust underneath their, on top of the refrigerator and underneath their counter space and wherever it may be, and helping you draw closer to Him, to connect with Him. He is preparing us. He is preparing the church. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, here. Are we preparing? Are we cleaning house? Getting ready for Him to come on earth? Yes, it is a time that we will meet Him, but He is going to rule. You know, the scripture clearly says, well, not this old earth, but it'll be a new heaven and new earth. But it is on earth. His kingdom is going to come on earth. Are we cleaning house? Are we getting ready? David prays this prayer, you know. He says, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquity. Then he adds some of the most beautiful words in the scripture. Create in me a pure heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. May the Lord help us this morning to clean house. Within, outside, in His church, in His temple, that we will prepare, that we will get ready to meet the Lord. We will get ready to prepare so that He can come and rule, that His kingdom will come on earth. His will be done as it is in heaven. May the Lord help us, not just knowing what Jesus did in the temple, but helping us clean the temple in our hearts, in our souls, to prepare for Him. On Easter, that we will receive Him. On Easter, we will celebrate resurrection, new life, what the Lord has promised, and prepare so that He may come and rule and be our Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Gracious Lord, we thank You for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for kindling that Spirit within us. Lord, that we will look around and clean our hearts, our souls, in order to prepare for Your coming, to prepare for us to meet You, O Lord, so that Your kingdom could come on earth. Lord, I pray that we will rethink of things that we do every day. Traditions are good, Lord. We thank You for those traditions that You've given us. Help us to look at the meaning of our traditions. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to You as we understand those meaning behind those traditions. To bring glory and honor, to draw closer to You, and to reflect Your love to Your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.